6 prominent character traits necessary for being able to stand out doing God's business. Now, when I'm talking about standing out doing God's business, the focus must be on who Jesus is. When I'm talking about standing out, the way what we are to do and in glorifying our Savior is this. We are to make certain that the standing out that we do glorifies Christ and not us. It's not focused on us. When we're talking about standing out doing God's business, simply means that whatever we're doing, they need to see more of Jesus in that than they see of us. It's the promotion of who Jesus is, not a promotion of who we are. 6 prominent character traits necessary. Okay, here it goes. We're going to use Joseph. Now, remember that Joseph was the 11th son of Jacob. Joseph was the first for Rachel, but the 11th, the first son with Rachel, Benjamin, as we read. Those of you who study a lot know what I'm talking about. Have you noticed the older we get and we look at our children, our grandchildren, that we have time to appreciate them? As we grow in relationships with one another and in families, the first go-around has to do with us as parents trying to make ends meet, pulling everything together, raising the children, and wanting to be able to give our children what we couldn't have and all of that stuff. But we get to a point after that, and we start looking for a way of where we can enjoy more of what God has given us with our children. For us in here, we will never have this situation that I'm going to talk about. Many children go to bed every night in fear of something happening to them by a parent or a family member. Total fear. So when, as we look at our family and we see what struggles we had to go through, when we look at our children then, and as they grow and they get married and we have our grandchildren and we spoil them, not in a bad way, but we spoil them. Spoiling them meaning that we can now enjoy watching them enjoy. I'd much rather see the sparkling eyes of a child than anything else I can think of. To see a child that's never had anything and you tell them, okay, I want you to go here and whatever you want, do it, or whatever. And to watch that child knowing that somebody even cares. Folks, that child, when they look back at you, they're showing you the eyes of Christ. You will see in those eyes the eyes of amazement, because you're really being nice to them. If most folk could only see the horrors that go on against children. Have you all been noticing the paper about every day some parent is either killing their child or, it is a sick society in which we're living. And they're just take it. They walk in down to their jail, or you see them, or I'll see them in a court or whatever, and they come up, and, you know, it's all about them. You know, that little brat shouldn't have been around me and all of this. It really pulls on the old Marine Corps in your pastor, as I know you understand. But you know why we get so angry? Because you and I know that God's angry. And when God's angry over something, if you and I don't get angry over the things God gets angry over, who is? So the church must stand out. The character traits that God is giving us in order to stand out is a gift. Your character is a gift from God. Now, some people say, well, no, the better education, all that. That has nothing to do with character. I'll get in that in a minute. But listen to these character traits. Matthew 5:15-16. Don't hide your light under a basket. Instead, put it on the stand and let it shine for all to see. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. So, it is not for us to get the praise. We don't deserve the praise. Folks, all that we can ever do is praise God that He even looked in our direction, to praise God that He loves us as ornery as we are. And for teachings of our day and coming around and saying, oh, no, you can. You can work yourself to the point of almost perfection. I hate that doctrine when people start throwing it out. Then what that tells those who are listening, thinking that they need to be doing something instead of realizing that salvation has already been done. Christianity is the only faith, folks, where it doesn't focus on my doing, but it focuses on what Jesus has already done. My salvation focuses on that. But if we can, and this is what you're seeing a lot of now, if we can make it difficult, remember, the reason that Christianity in the first century was looked so much down on was the simplicity of the gospel. That's just too simple. And yet God says that He would use the simple to confound the wise, or those who think themselves to be. So you and I have got to get back to the foot of the cross and also pay attention that what we do, use it to glorify God and not self. Character trait number one that we need is audacity. Audacity is the courage to think big, show initiative, and take risk for a dream while facing the possibility of failure. You see, the dream, okay, where do you get that dream? The dream comes from God, our calling. You know, I thought, okay, what I do, God has called me to preach, so therefore, then each day, He's going to write everything down for me and make sure, because my calling is this. My calling is to preach. My calling is to teach. And, you know, pretty soon you start doing all the learning, and then you, like a lot of preachers will say, then you know it all. And the more that you learn, truthfully, the less you realize you even know. But God says it's an everyday occurrence. You and I, in the audacity or the challenges of life, when we take the initiative, there's not a point to where we reach and said, okay, here I am, I'm here. When they start saying that, what happens? They start going down. Why? They think they're already there as to where God wants them down here on earth. You and I have a responsibility while we're here. If we're going to breathe God's air, then I think that it's mighty important that you and I share the love of the God that gives us the air to breathe and the focus. And it's the audacity. It is the dream that God has given us. But the dream, when's it completed? I used to say the dream is completed when we reach heaven. But I don't say that. The more I study, the more I realize that we haven't seen anything yet. I mean, we haven't even begun. It's just so vast as how much God loves us. Genesis 37:5, verse 5 plus verse 10. Joseph had a dream. When he told it to his brothers, they hated him and all the more. When he told his father, as he had his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream you've had? Meaning, out of sarcasm, God had given Joseph the dream that would really upset the brothers, because, you know, it's one thing to get the dream and another thing when you go tell it. And realize that when you go tell it, that all your brothers are going to bow to you. Well, if you have family, you realize that doesn't go over very good at the family reunion time. It just doesn't. And then, you know, Joseph, he should have, you know, sort of backed off a little from the human standpoint. And in his statement, also his father, if you will remember, will be dependent on him. I mean, he's just emptying his heart. And his brothers were emptying out their disdain for him. But folks, when we have the dream, we must look for the courage to think big. Thinking big for me is to think that as before, my spirit leaves this body. Just before it leaves it, I will get to see my Savior. You see, that's pretty big for me to think that way. But the big part is something that I cannot even imagine, which is after it. What's going on? What am I doing after? I can see a few things and all of this, and then I get to the scripture. Eyes not seen, ears not heard, nor has it entered the heart of man for the things that God has planned for us. So I realize what I can see is nothing compared to what is going to be visible to us. Character trait number two, likability. Now remember, likability is not personality. You see people that smile all the time, and they say, you know, well, I like them. Why you like them? Well, because they're grinning. Well, if I was you, I'd worry about it. Every time they come around you, they got that smile on their face. Likability is not personality. It's character. It's choice. It's behavior. It's how you choose to relate to other people. Genesis 39, verses 2 through the first part of verse 4. Joseph lived in the home of Potiphar, his Egyptian owner. Soon Potiphar realized that the Lord was helping Joseph to be successful in whatever he did. Potiphar took a liking to Joseph and made him his personal assistant. Now, the likability part. Was the likability there because Joseph was smiling? I don't know whether he was smiling or not. But it wasn't. Look what it was there for. He saw that Joseph was successful in whatever he did. And therefore, if you see someone who you're watching and you see they're successful in whatever they do, then you ought to befriend that individual. You ought to get around that individual. You know, I'm not that smart, so what I like doing, I like getting around smart people and keeping my mouth shut. And then when people see you around the smart people, they say, well, Larry must be smart, until they get to know me. But it's always, folks, the likability part of being sincere with folks. It's not the smile, it's the sincerity. It's the care and concern that you will have for someone else. That's the likability part. Take the hit for someone, meaning if something's messed up, and then you say, well, it's mine. I did it. Now, you can't be a politician and do that. But it's the idea of being responsible for you. And it even goes beyond that. It's the idea of that you are standing in the gap. That's next Sunday sermon. Standing in the gap, meaning God looked on earth to find someone that would stand in the gap. Now listen to this. And God said, and I found none. Now, I thought we had a lot of people that stood in the gap. There were. But from generation to generation, God allows every generation the opportunity to become winners. And every generation will either choose the love of God or we will choose our own lifestyle. Every generation, again, until God comes, each generation will have the opportunity. You and I are not going to be punished for the sins of our parents. Okay? That's not there anymore. Only thing that we are going to find is the messes our parents are going to leave us to clean up later. But we are not going to be defined by them. Are we not in this country defined by who we are as individuals? Yeah. But I remember well in the old days out of Greene County area when they would say, well, who is that? Oh, that's John's kid. Stay away from them. Why you stay away from them? Because his father was vicious. Well, I hadn't met John. I didn't know how he was. If he was related to me, he probably was vicious. But all of that, and I find that the more you ask, sometimes you just quit because you're related to way too many people in one area for it. So think of it this way, gosh. Let's go to character trait number three, is capacity. Your potential for growth, the desire to keep learning so you can increase in competence and handle greater responsibility. People will get to a point so often in life to where they will say, I don't want to study anymore. I mean, and if, as far as going back to college or doing any of that, I ain't either. I mean, that's enough. But I love studying the Word of God. And God says to us, I want you to have the capacity. Now, the Lord says, I will expand your thinking. I will give you the wisdom. But the wisdom will come from the hearing of my Word. It will come as you're studying my Word. Folks, there's a lot of power. Full power and authority in the Word of God. That's why it's referred to as the sword of God. Genesis 39 verses 4 through 5. Joseph naturally became quite a favorite with Potiphar. Soon he put Joseph in charge of his entire household and entrusted him with all his business dealings. From the day Joseph was put in charge, the Lord began to bless Potiphar for Joseph's sake. Now, let's think about it. Move up into the New Testament. Think about this for a second. God says that he will even make your enemies become your friends. So Joseph has dedicated himself to God. Joseph isn't trying to work to impress these people. It's a gift from God that he does impress these people. And God says, I do this for him to grow in this knowledge. I do this to make sure that Potiphar has growth in his wealth, but I'm doing it because of Joseph. So he will get the blessing. Don't understand God's plan on earth. None of us do. And the more we think about that, we really believe that to the depth because we have no idea God's plan just for us, much less someone else. So when somebody comes up to you and says, you know what, you ought to start preaching. I think God's called you to preach. I hated that stuff too. I saw that in earlier years. It wasn't with me because everybody told me, you ain't going to make it, son. Get out of it. But it was the idea of when preachers would want to get rid of what they thought was a little trouble. And I heard one speaking one day at a conference we was in, and he said that. They said, well, how'd you get rid of that idiot that was you talked about having in your church? He said, I told him God had given me a vision, and he's called you to preach. And I got up, and I walked out of that class. God does not do that. But he just wanted to get rid of this guy. So he knew if he would build him up a little bit, that he would hit his pride, then the guy would, okay, that's what I'll do. So he says, this is the church you need to go to. So he got him out of the way because the guy was a troublemaker. But he lied in the process. Therefore, this guy thinks he's called to preach because some crazy preacher told him that he was. And think of all the trouble he's going to cause in his life just because that he's following the word of somebody else. Folks, remember, your pastor or no one else can tell you your calling. You can come and you can say, Larry, listen, I need help in this area, that you can give me a few pointers because I know that God has called me. That's different. But you will not hear me say, God has called you to preach. Now, if the peanut butter fudge is good, I might say, God has really blessed you with the art of peanut butter fudge. I got to get out of that. Okay. Everything that he did, remember, began to run smoothly, and his crops and his livestock flourished. So Potiphar's quite happy, right? He's real happy. Character trait number four, reliability. At any meetings, and I've always done this, I guess, because it would drive me crazy. When I set a time that I'm going to be somewhere, unless that I'm dead or, you know, blocked some way from getting there, I will be there, and I'll also be early. I've went on appointments many times when I get there an hour early because I wanted to make sure I knew where the place was. And then I would get there. That's called reliability. But reliability goes a little deeper, too, from a character trait. God wants to trust me to be a reliable servant of his. And when I get there, I tell what thus saith the Lord thy God, not what Larry Vance said. Earning the trust of others by always keeping your promises and fulfilling your responsibilities, even if it requires sacrifice. A reliable individual will keep their word, even if it costs them. Once that individual has said, I will do this, then that individual Christian must follow through with that commitment as long as it is within their possibility of doing it. Not say, oh, I can't believe I promised that, and look at this. I got a golf game scheduled exactly the same time. I feel a cough coming on. I'm glad I don't know how to play golf, because I never thought that it was very smart out there hitting that little white thing and then losing it. Everybody looking. And they call that fun. Now, I'm sure that it is, because it seems like all the smart people know how to play it. But it's just something different about it. Earning the trust, always keeping your bond, fulfilling responsibility. Listen to Genesis 39, verse 6. So Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything he owned. With Joseph there, he didn't have a worry in the world, listen to this one, except to decide what he wanted to eat. Isn't that cool? All right. Joseph was a hit, folks. But then it gets worse. Character trait number five is loyalty. If you're loyal to someone and you give someone your promise of loyalty, then be loyal. No matter what happens, you be loyal. I've watched professionals over the years, and you would see people, as long as this professional is on top, everything's going great, everybody's their friend. You would talk to some of the people around, and they say, oh, yeah, he's my best friend. So at that point, everybody seemed to claim to be best friends with this individual who's on the top of the heap. And then what happens? Life, a foolishness gets involved. The person collapses, meaning his character, everything goes down the tube because of a bad case of the stupids. And all of a sudden, nobody even knows him. Who are you talking about? Oh, I knew he was going to fall from the time I said that. Being faithful to God when difficulty tests your commitment. Now listen to the loyalty in this part. Loyalty to God. Being faithful to God when difficulty tests your commitment. Many young preachers leave the ministry very rapidly anymore over the first test that God will allow them to go through. Oh, I didn't realize I was may have to go somewhere other than where I wanted to go. I don't think I'm really into doing this now. Do you all realize something? I think you may not, but in the Southern Baptist Convention, we'll go to the Southern Seminary. You know what one of the greatest problems Southern has today is people going to get an education so that it's almost completely paid for by the Southern Baptist, saying we're called to preach and we're going in to ministry, and they go and they get an education on cooperative program money and all of this. And as soon as they graduate, they start teaching in a school somewhere, or they go off to do their other thing. Now, I had much rather have to work all night, go to school all day to pay to go to college, than to do that openly where God is paying attention to it. You promise you're gonna, I've never seen them, never, ever seen them successful. Doesn't work. You don't cheat God and become successful. The success that you and I have is a gift from God. There's nobody in here got a dime in your pocket God didn't allow us to have. There's nothing that we have that exists in our life that was not a gift from God. And how dare we stand and say, look what I have done. All my years of education have paid off. Well, it didn't pay very good because you're horrible at it. Being faithful. Genesis 39, second part of verse 6, and then 8 and 9. Now, Joseph was a very handsome and well-built young man. Now, I know that you all didn't think in the old days they paid attention to that. But they did. Just like Bathsheba, look at the description of how beautiful Bathsheba was concerning David. But now Joseph was a very handsome and well-built young man. So Potiphar's wife began to desire him and invite him to sleep with her. That's why I tell you all, always be against censorship. The Bible's the first book that gets censored, folks. There's more love stories, blood and guts and all the vileness and everything in the Bible. So Potiphar's wife began to desire and invite him to sleep. But Joseph refused. Look, he told her, my master trusts me with everything in his entire household. No one here has more authority than I do. He has held back nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How could I ever do such a wicked thing to him? And it would be a great sin against God. So the challenge with Joseph was nobody's going to know. The challenge with Joseph, though, goes deeper than that, folks. You see, God is showing us what goes on from the true definition of going off a whoring in the world and all of this that we see throughout the Scripture. The definition of that has nothing to do with sex, people. It has to do with us going off into the world of what the world offers us. That's committing idolatry against God. That is committing adultery against God. Every one of the commandments dealt, folks, with our relationship with who God truly is. I know we have it with one another and all, but it's a focus of, I want you to see how God feels when he's betrayed. I want you to feel how my Father in heaven still loves you, though he's been betrayed. The key has been, and this is our fall today, has nothing to do with the sex part or any of this. It has to do with the church backing away from the truth of God and preachers in general. Well, you and I do not have a right, none of us have a right, to back off when God says, tell the people, warn the people, tell them that I'm watching, tell them that I see that they've chosen another bride, meaning another faith, another direction. That's the greater sin of all the sin that you will ever find within your life. Backing away from what God called you to do. And then taking for granted the truth of God and the love of God to where you and I would ever get to a point to where the greater emphasis is on us than it is on Christ. Remember again in the New Testament where we are stepping on the blood of Christ when we push the blood away as not being important? How many people, how many preachers and all have you heard to where, well, it's not really that important. Now, I do have some problem with some great speakers of our day. People said, well, you never had problem with Billy Graham. Billy Graham, let me tell you, you hear John 3:16 as he wakes up, closes his eyes when he's talking in the middle of the sentence and all. It's always brought the gospel. But I really, really have a hard time with everybody wanting to say that you will be a winner every day of your life. You will, this is where you're going to find the strength to go on, and then never talk about Jesus. I have a hard time with that. I have a hard time with saying that, okay, you are going to be tremendously successful. I don't want to be successful on my own. I want to see the success of Christ taught to a world that doesn't know him. This health and wealth stuff is killing us, has been for many, many years. We want you to feel good about yourself. Well, I don't feel so good about myself most of the time. And how can I help someone I know is not feeling good about themselves if I don't know the feelings that they're having, the misery that they're going through? Am I going to go and say, okay, all you need to do, you read this book, you got it. The gift that God has given us, folks. We have to be loyal to the Word. There's where the whoredom of life right now is. We're not loyal. Too many churches, too many people speaking have become too popular to the point that they're not loyal to their calling of the truth of God. Here's our last one, character trait number 6, integrity. Integrity, look at it as one great monolithic structure. Integrity is, you got it together, okay? Practicing in secret the values and beliefs you claim to hold in public. Integrity is far more than simple honesty. Listen to Genesis 39:10. The woman pressured Joseph every day, but he refused to have sexual relations with her or even spend time with her. That means he took off running. Now, you remember what happened to him? After this, she got mad, accused him, and they locked him in jail Okay. How do I know then that Potiphar knew that it was her fault? His wife, Potiphar, knew it was the wife because you could never have done that and lived. So Potiphar was blessing him by getting him locked up in jail for a while. Go on over there. At least, Joseph, you don't have to be around her. And so he goes to jail, and then after that, if you follow that story, you'll see how God greatly blessed him. Philippians 2:15. You are to live clean, innocent lives as children of God in a dark world full of crooked and perverse people. Let your lives shine brightly before them. Our walk with Christ is the light that we're supposed to share. And not in arrogance. It's in love. As others will see then, our Lord's work in us or through us and glorify Him. It is all to glorify God, not ourselves at all.